back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
There we go, Lo.
Y'all like how your boy Lo, right? Y'all like that voice, how your boy Lo come in there. Hey.
Smooth with it, smooth with it.
I came at the door. I said it before. I'll never let the mic magnetize me no more. Hey. But it's biting me, it's biting me, it's biting me to rhyme. I can't hold back. I'm looking for my line. Taking off my coat, clearing my throat. My rhymes will be kicking it till I hit my last note.
Ooh.
Hey, let's get it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that sure is yelling Willard and Dibs, huh?
No. Dibs can't do that. Shut up, Dibs. Go to hell, Dibs. Nice turnaround, baby, back
great.
There on the turntables. Baby, do what you do, baby boy.
That was not live. That was Lo Neal about an hour ago here on 95.7 The Game. The great Lo Neal filling in on Willard and Dibs this week. It's Mark Randy, Lo Neal, and Jay Cutchinson. Of course, Lo, one of the greatest fullbacks of all time. Hutch, you read him on Niners, all things Bay Area sports on 95.7 The Game and all over Odyssey here in the United States. Does a great job with us. He's down in Santa Clara for Niners all the time. Going up to the city, though, for this week, joining us here on Willard and Dibs. Having a lot of fun here this week here on 95.7 The Game. And it's a rough day for the Niners because they did fall to Green Bay 38-10. But we're having a lot of fun alongside Lo Neal and Hutchinson. My name is Mark Randy, and all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. The guests include Steve Kerr, who will join us tomorrow here on Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. I'm looking forward to that. Also, Mark Schlereth. We'll get him to break down Niners. That's coming up tomorrow as well. We got that to look forward to coming up tomorrow. But today, guys, we got to continue breaking down what happened for the 49ers in Green Bay. I wanted to get into Deebo Samuel because this was an interesting game where you come into a game like this, and Lo, correct me if I'm wrong, Hutch, I know you know how the Niners have handled things like this in the past. You've got a backup quarterback who hasn't played in the NFL, a regular season NFL game in about 3 years. You're without your star left tackle. You're without your star edge rusher. Christian McCaffrey is, you know, just his third game back off of an injury that's kept him out all season long up to that point. You got, like, all the odds stacked against you. In the past, this has kind of just been the moment where the Niners give Deebo the ball and say, go make magic happen, buddy. Like, we'll get you the ball. We'll find a way to give you 10 touches. And invariably, he's going to find a way to break one for a 50-yard touchdown. He'll break another for 37 yards, and he'll break, like, four tackles along the way. And if you're going to win the football game, it's going to be through Deebo Samuel's individual brilliance. He had one touch in this football game. One touch! And it was on a reverse flea flicker screen, which honestly was fun and cool and good to see. Love to see the creativity from Kyle Shanahan. That was his only touch. He had a kick return that nearly he took it to the house, but it was called back because of a holding. And then he had a couple of other targets in the passing game that he could not catch, and one that he tipped and turned into an interception. No rushing attempts, which is in the past something that he would get like at least 5, 6, 7 of in games like this. And to me, guys, Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers offense only giving Deebo Samuel one touch like that, one manufactured touch, that seems to me to be them saying Deebo doesn't have it anymore. If they've thought he had it and he was a way for them to get the offense going, they manufacture 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 touches for him in that game, and they only manufactured a single one.
No question. It's clear to anybody that's watching the tape, and it, I think, explains a little bit of why Deebo is especially bristly this season, is that he's not the same. And you look at it, he's just not moving the same, and stuff hasn't been blocked well for him, of course. But in years past, stuff was blocked terribly for him anyway. And you send
it didn't matter.
And it did not matter. Deebo was the king of the most impressive 3-yard rush you'd ever seen in your life, where he's getting swarmed behind the line of scrimmage, and you could count on him almost every single time he touched the ball to break a tackle. And he just does not have that. You look at some of the advanced stats of him as a ball carrier compared to every other, he is dead last in EPA per rush, you know, explosive play rate, success rate, whatever you want to use. He's been their least effective runner. And a lot of that, again, not blocked well. But you can tell that they've seen what we've seen, in my view, and it's not working running him like that like it has in the past. Josh Jacobs breaking tackles like vintage Deebo, but I just don't think Deebo really has it, and you can't keep using him in that way. And you're right. any other situation previous years, they absolutely would have fed him. I just don't think he has it this year. And, you know, you have to hope if you're the 49ers, it's just a one-year thing. But this is a guy who has a lot of mileage, and you have to worry that it's more of not just this year, but the rest of his career.
Yeah, I think that Deebo can play harder. I think that he thinks he's playing harder, but he can do more. I think that Deebo has to make a conscious effort to catch the ball. When those two other passes were in your hands hit you, you got to find a way to catch those passes. That's just sometimes lackadaisical and just like not paying attention to detail. You expect more from Deebo because he is your leader. And Kyle Shanahan, we probably had him on the show. You heard his press conference today. He said, yeah, we try to give him the ball, but he's got to make those two catches. He makes those two catches. Those are chain movers. Those are first down. And now you can get more targets. But I think Deebo himself, I think that he, you know, that this guy would tell you, yeah, look, there used to be better runs, but I think that if you look at McCaffrey, if you can go over his stats and, you know, now they do the warp and all those things, of all the things they have, the analytics, and you can look at his numbers and say, man, what's going on with that? And I don't think there's nothing wrong with McCaffrey. I think that he needed to get round back into shape, but also think that the line's not as good as it used to be. I think that you're not getting push off the line of scrimmage. I watched McCaffrey run the ball, and there's nowhere to go. So I do believe that Deebo can play better. I do believe that Deebo has taken a step back, and I think he still has it. I just don't think that he's putting the effort in the way that he's capable of. And when Deebo was going, the team was going. When Deebo goes, the team goes. Right now, I don't know if Deebo, if he was playing at his best, do you win yesterday? I don't think so. I just think that right now, you're a team that's going through, you're having a bad year, you have an off year, and you just don't have it. No matter what this team does, offensively, defensively, they're just behind. They have not done it this year. They're not a second half team. They've squandered leads. Every single game, they had one game that just dominated, and that was against the, you know, probably the Patriots. But when you think about, they've almost given up every single game this year. They've almost lost in the end of these games.
Yeah. Okay, that's interesting, though. So you still think Deebo has it in him, but maybe...
I'd say that's worse. That's worse if he's still got it and he's just not giving it his all. I'm not going to guess or speculate how much effort he's putting in, but that would worry me just as much, if not more.
I just think that... I know what you're saying. And maybe I'm saying it wrong, but I think instead of saying, okay, like I seen Deebo on some of the stretch plays where he just runs and he gets to the line and it's like three or four dudes out there and he just keeps running out of bounds. Or last year he would have turned his shoulders, made a guy miss, run over another guy, and maybe picked up a couple more yards. So I just don't know if he's saying mentally, do I take these two, three extra hits for who, for what? And it's hard because you guys are saying, God, that makes it sound worse. I don't know, does it? If he's running to the sideline, you see it, and he's like, he's running out of real estate. There's three guys there, and he just says, I'm just going to get 1 yard and get out of bounds, compose it, put my foot in the ground, get north and south, and go pick up another four or five. I don't know. I haven't seen that.
It's easy for Hutch and I to probably say that because we don't know what it feels like to turn up field when you've got a linebacker and two defensive backs bearing down on you.
So I'd go out of bounds.
I'd go out of bounds, too. I wouldn't even take the ball in the first place. But I think where maybe there's some frustration is if that's the case.
I know.
It's been something that's happening all year. And like, fair enough to say, all right, Deebo, like, pick your spots. You're down 20 points in the second half against Green Bay. You're about to fall to 5-6. Is it worth it? Sure. Okay, but was it worth it week 5 or week 4 when he lost to the Cardinals at home? And I mean, he's had a couple of nice moments here and there, but this has been something that's been happening all season. And when it was happening earlier in the season, this is still a team that had everything that they set out to accomplish in front of them.
Last year, you guys remember Deebo and the year before, where how many times you've seen a guy has his leg and he's pulling the guy on his leg and he sees him coming and he jumps and gets like through. I've seen it.
So Countless times.
I mean, to be clear, I think Deebo Samuel was at 2021 where he carried this offense single-handedly. He's one of the most dynamic football players I've ever seen in my life.
We'll never see another 2021 Deebo.
No question. No question. But I think you knew.
But he doesn't need to be that in 2021.
No.
Right. He needs to be 60% of that. And he's not even close to that, in my opinion. I just think it's tough to go from watching a guy who is that dynamic, who fundamentally changed what the 49ers could do with their offense, created a position, a quasi position of the wide back to go to what he is now, where they're not even looking to feed him in a game where this would normally be, all right, let's be physical. Let's put the ball in Debo's hands. He will turn some mediocre blocking into positive plays. And they didn't do that.
Is that the same with Brandon Ayuk? Because before he got injured, he was dropping passes, not catching. You didn't see the same type of Ayuk that you, so you had a bad day. I just think they're bad this year. You guys have seen running backs that go from a great year and just fall off and then come back. I mean, I've seen quarterbacks shoot, they ran the Rams quarterback out of LA. They ran him to Detroit. They said, get out of here.
Yeah.
Jared Goff, he was a bust. Everyone said he couldn't win. And I was one of those guys. He couldn't go win the big one. He's just like, he's a game manager. He doesn't throw the big ball. Jared Goff, he's just a guy. And look what he is now. So it's like, do we throw these guys away? I think the guys can have an off year and still bounce back. That's all I'm saying.
I don't disagree at all. I do think Debo is particular in the fact that Kyle Shanahan has spoken explicitly multiple times that over the offseason they have to make sure he stays in shape and doesn't gain weight. That was something coming out of South Carolina.
He's South Carolina eating that good food, getting that fried chicken and, fried okra.
I don't blame him.
I don't blame you. You in South Carolina, Debo eating them pig feet. Debo grubbing. He getting his grub on, man.
Sounds good to me.
But he does. He gets a little, he can blow up.
But
Debo
it's something where you worry about.
You want your cornbread, by the way?
But like, also in 2021, let's not pretend like he was in the best shape of his life in 2021 either. I mean, he was a big dude in 2021.
It's just that he's a guy that I think most people feel for at some point when the wheels fall off, they're going to fall off and it's going to be a hard fall with him in particular. And so you worry that this is that point. I'm not saying necessarily definitively it's it, but there are signs that, way he's been used in the past is not viable anymore. And if that's the case, he's not a really true receiver. He can win in zone, but he cannot beat man coverage for the most part. And that's how the Chiefs dominated the Niners in the Super Bowl. You got to worry about him. And if he's not providing that second option as a runner, I don't know what he is.
Yeah. And this is the thing. He's 28 years old. We saw the speed last night. You saw him still make people miss and pick up that big return. So what's in there? I think if he's a guy that you line up in certain situations, third and short, fourth and one, or something like that, and you got him in that bunch. He's next to the tight end, and you fake the run, and he's going to be dragging across. You have to put him and scheme him open on certain things. I totally agree with you. He doesn't beat the press very well. He can't beat man coverage consistently. So you're right, but he is physical and he can beat guys up, claw him, and he's quick. So I think you have to find a way to get him in the right spots, scheme him open to do those things. And that's what makes Kyle Shanahan great. That's what made him great. That's what made him so elite of a coach, because he knows how to get guys open and makes average guys look better than average. And Debo's far from being average. He's a great talent. I just think that this is a bad year for a lot of guys. They haven't found it, and it's going to be interesting to just see how they rebound after the season.
Yeah, I also think losing Ayuk, the fact that he was a guy that really challenged defenses, I think you could have mixed in Ricky, and if Ricky Pearsall was healthy from the start of the season, in an ideal world, they would have had Ayuk as the X, and they would have, I think, mixed in Pearsall with Debo a little bit and taken some of the load off of Debo, where he didn't have to be in every single down player, and maybe I'm wrong on that, but I think if they had those guys, there would have been less on his shoulders, and maybe he would have looked a little better, but that's not where we are.
So where do you guys put Jennings? Is he an X or Z, Y? What position do you put?
He's traditionally a slot, but now Kyle trusts him to play the X, which I think he can, but he doesn't have any sort of the breakaway speed that someone like Debo or Ayuk have, and so...
But do you need it?
I think
does Pearsall have it? Does when you watch the Chargers play and you watch McConkey play? Do you need the breakaway speed to play X or Z? Keenan McCardell when he was at his highest, when you see great receivers, Jerry Rice ran a 4.7, 4.6. So everyone talks about the speed. I get guys that can take the roof off the building. They got to have a vertical guy to go vertical. But do you really need that type of guy in today's NFL to be able to say, can he beat coverage? When you look at Jennings, 160 yards, more receiving yards than any of these receivers ever did in one game. So can he play at a high level? Do you need a guy to be a speed burner to be able to play X or Z?
I don't think he necessarily needs to have that top-end speed, and he never will. But for this offense to have those explosive plays where it's run after catch, I think that's something that they like. And he's so physical, he can still rip those off. But it's a different thing than when Ayuk catches it and immediately has a platform for an easy 15 yards. I just think it's different. And they've counted on that speed and that timing. And it's different with Jennings, which is not a criticism of Jennings. I'm just not sure. Like, that's not his natural position. Yeah. And he's playing really well. It's just a different type of offense.
Juwan could play anywhere for me. He's just that dude, right? I love Juwan is an amazing football player. But I think Hutch is onto something when you talk about without Ayuk, you don't really have a lot of guys out there who can beat man coverage. And that's where you thought Ricky Pearsall was going to come in and be able to do that. But, I mean, he last couple of games barely getting targeted at all. I also think the other thing that's interesting is if – as you're talking about, Debo still has it in him to break off a great play here and there. I find it hard to believe how he's only getting one touch in a football game.
You think he
like
should
yesterday.
Be getting more? So you're on the fence of saying I want to see more Debo.
I mean, it's either it's Debo Samuel doesn't have it anymore, and Shanahan and the Niners know it, so they're not giving him touches, or he has it and he's only getting one touch. I mean, it's terrible both ways. I mean, just I have found some of the numbers here. So like the example that I'm thinking of is Niners backs up against the wall. You got to get a win. Maybe you have some quarterback concerns. All right, what do? You give the ball to Debo. Go back to 2021. Niners were 3-5. Monday Night Football against the Rams. You lose that game, you're probably benching Jimmy and you're going with Trey Lance. Like, it was a must-win football game, of course. We know they won it, and they went all the way to the NFC Championship game.
Should have gave Debo the ball in that NFC game on that, probably yep, win that game, probably. Right?
That 2021 game against the Rams, 10 total touches, 5 catches, 5 carries. Later on, that same year, week 17, a Trey Lance start against the Texans at home. Win, and you keep your postseason hopes alive. 10 total touches. He had 3 catches, but 7 rushes. The next week, week 18, in LA against the Rams, win and you make the playoffs. Debo Samuel, 12 total touches, 4 catches, but 8 carries. You go into the postseason in Debo's career. Mm. Take out his rookie year when he wasn't who we now know Debo to be. 13 touches, 11, 12, 11, 12. 2 against Green Bay last year because he was hurt, 11, and then 6 in the Super Bowl. I say all those numbers just to say when the Niners are in situations where they have to win or they're looking at maybe their season over or where they're dealing with a backup quarterback or with a guy that they don't have a ton of confidence in, they just endlessly give Debo the ball and not just like target him 10 times in the passing game. Give him carries. Give him those manufactured touches. And there was one manufactured touch yesterday. That, to me, suggests either the Niners have lost confidence in his ability or it was just mismanagement. Because if you still believe Debo can do what he's done in the past, and in that situation yesterday he only gets one touch, I don't know how you can make an excuse for that.
And it's interesting because, you know, they put him back at the kickoff. They still trust him to be explosive there.
Yeah, and he was explosive.
And he was. But it's clear that I think two things. Debo's not what he was. But he's still got something in there, right? Like Lowe's talking, he's still got some in there. I just think it's far, far less consistent, and it's not as explosive as it was. And so I think there is a realization that all those jet sweeps and all those stuff, they're not being blocked well enough, and Debo's not quite as explosive as he once was to make up for the poor blocking. Mm. And so those are probably going to be negative plays anyway, so why run it? I think that might be where they're coming from.
Maybe just a perfect storm, a couple of things coming together. I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough because you guys are both making very valid points and watching Debo and seeing the lack of productivity from this guy who's your superstar. And when the games were still in the ballot and still so much up to grab, Debo was huge, like you alluded to. It was give the ball to Debo, either throw it to him, let him run it, do something, let this guy touch the ball because he could be our savior. And you have not seen that this year. But I think this is a different team, though. I think that you guys have to look at the situations when you were in it last year and the year before when Debo did those things. things were different. The team felt different. You were in a different vibe. You were winning. Debo would take over. Your defense was playing a lot better. Your defense is a sieve, guys. This defense is ferocious. I mean, yesterday was what? Green Bay went 5 for 5 in the red zone and third down.
They started 6 for 7 on third downs.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
It got better in the second half, but yeah.
And so you can't win that, and it deflates your offense. When you're playing like this and your defense can't help you, your offense can't help you, you're not playing complementary football. Your offense is not complementing your defense. Your defense isn't complementing your offense. Teams can run the ball all over your defense. Your offense can't run the ball. You used to sit there and watch. You remember those guys on the Niners defense would stand up and watch the show from the offense? Mm-hmm. And just like, our offense is going to and they would just watch them just grind and eat. Have you ever seen this? This team does not have that. And if you remember, our defense was 3 and out. People were going crazy. The place was just, the defense, you try to run against them. I mean, it was stingy.
There used to be that full belief that
that you could
just lean on them. And their identity, I think we talked about it before, but it was to be physical. It was as simple as you can possibly get in football, right? It's to build up an elite defensive front that can be – their philosophy hasn't been to be dominant against the run, but they had enough talent to be decent against the run, and when it mattered, be physical and challenge teams in the run game and then get after them in the pass game. And then it's to run the ball and outside zone and counters off of that. And they just have not – that's their identity, and they have not gotten to that. There's been no level of execution in those key elements. And when you don't have that and you don't have a clear identity and all these guys with contract stuff in the offseason and didn't have real practices, you enter the season on the wrong foot, and then the way they lost those early games just puts such a sour taste in your mouth where you're like, we believe, right? And everyone's like, yeah, I still believe. But no one really believes. And so it's just – it. You're right. I think it is possibly just a one-season thing, but they are off this year in a number of ways, and it's not just one thing.
No, it's really not. And you just watch – them, the way that they play, it's just like, you're like, wow, who is this team? Kyle Shanahan, when you heard him in his presser today, and I don't know if you guys can get that part up, where he says it's different when the running back is 5 to 10 yards down the field and no one's touched him. It's hard to make tackles because they got space. Usually you make guys stop their feet in the backfield. Now the cavalry can come and help them. McCaffrey can't be explosive because when he's run into that track, then he has to come to a complete stop. The pursuit comes and get him. When he used to have the lanes, he'd run to that track, and now he puts his foot in the ground and get north and south and just, like Steiny was saying, and see a hole, and he would hit it because he didn't come to a complete stop. He was running, he sees it, puts his foot in the ground, and then he got north and south. Now he's running, he has to come to a complete stop because there's a new line of scrimmage. It stopped him in the backfield, and now when he tries to stop and start again, the pursuit gets him. So it's a different type of running game. It's a different type of everything, and that's what Kyle Shanahan, we talked about what they were able to do in the running game yesterday, Green Bay. Kyle Shanahan talked about how the running back was able to get 4 or 5 yards down the field before he was even touched. That's why you had guys miss a lot of tackles.
Yeah, yeah, and we can hear Shanahan explain that coming up on the other side. We'll take a quick break. I also wanted to throw back to something that defensive coordinator Nick Sorensen said a couple of months ago about missed tackles, because I think it is very relevant now. It might not make a lot of Niner fans happy, but we can hear that. We got a lot more to get into. We've got a little more than an hour left. It's Willard and Dibbs. No Willard and Dibbs this week. Mark Randy, Lo Neal, Jake Hutchinson. We're back with more here on 95.7 The Game in just a little bit. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. More next on 95.7 The Game.